Blog Talk Radio.
You go. You can hear all the activity going on behind me here at the Frat House Sports Garage as we get ready for chase race number 7 here this afternoon at Martinsville Speedway. Well, we're not at Martinsville Speedway, but we're certainly going to be viewing in on what's happening down there this afternoon. And I got to tell you something. You know, for all those people that complain about the chase and this format and what have you, I think it's been terrific. I mean, just take a look at what happened last week. I mean, we were there at Cut Race, Talladega, and I got to be honest with you, there were some cuts that were made there that I was a little bit surprised at. We're going to talk about all of those that got cut. We're going to talk about the leaderboard. As it stands right now, we're down to the Elite Eight as we move forward. Next three races taking us up to chase race number 9, and then we cut it down to the final four for just one more race. So four races remaining, not too many more remaining in the schedule, not too many more of these programs coming to you on Sunday morning, at least for this season. What can I tell you about last week? As I pointed out, a couple of cuts made there that took me a little bit by surprise. We still have a pesky in there, much to my chagrin. And, well, at least from my perspective, it's the wrong one. Because the other one was cut after last week's race. Interestingly enough, there was one Toyota that was cut out of there as well, and that was the guy that I kind of thought was head and shoulders, perhaps maybe the front runner to win the championship this year. Not going to happen. Martin Truex is out of there. But the other Toyotas, well, they survived. And there was some noise about that this past week, depending on what blog sites you were reading or what groups you might be a member of. There were some people that, didn't exactly appreciate the formula that the JGRs used for Talladega. Well, we'll talk about that one as well. I, for one, I've got my own personal opinions on it. So, you know, where we sit at this point is who actually does make the final four. And Martinsville, half-mile track here today, that's our starting point. We'll be taking a look at, as I pointed out, we'll be taking a look at the complete leaderboard, and we'll also be taking a look at what we actually think, who we might actually think could be in that final four. I guess the other bit of interesting news this past week, NASCAR is still making some rules changes. Well, what, why not? Hey, that's what NASCAR does. That's what they do best. They make rules changes. As I pointed out, rules changes in NASCAR are as common as rain. And rain delays in NASCAR. Oh, that came up too this past week. That could be a topic here for this morning. But some rules changes, restrictions placed on drivers with regard to some of the series that they may or may not be able to participate in and what their frequency might be. Interesting. because this has been something that I've been complaining about in NASCAR almost from the very first time that I really started getting into it quite a few years ago. The absolute, you know, all the number of copies that are involved in the Xfinity series and in the Camping World Truck Series, well, NASCAR is going to put some restrictions on that starting in 2017. Some said it's a step in the right direction. Others said it didn't go far enough. Well, we'll talk about that one as well. And as I pointed out, rain delays and start times and that sort of thing, boy, oh boy, it just seems like, and most recently, we've really been plagued by delayed start times, etc. Well, somebody brought up an interesting concept. I don't know if anybody noticed, but I believe it was Game 2 of the World Series, which airs on Fox Sports, by the way, the mothership. Game 2 of the World Series was moved up an hour. Major League Baseball anticipating that potentially it could have gotten rained out. And so what they wanted to do was they wanted to at least get some of the game in. The schedule being as tight as it was, they didn't want the game going into Wednesday, or Thursday rather, which was, or I guess it actually was Wednesday, as that was to be a travel day for both teams. So the question comes up, would that make sense for NASCAR? We've seen NASCAR move start times, but not by much more than maybe about 15, 20 minutes. Would it make sense to move them up significantly? An hour, hour and a half, maybe even 2 hours. And would the networks that cover them be able to accommodate? Interesting proposal. Makes a lot of sense to me. All right, well, as I pointed out, today we're at Martinsville. Last time we were here was in April. And interestingly enough, today we have a non-chaser on the pole. Martin Truex Jr., who just got cut from the chase following last week's race at Talladega, sits on the pole. Interesting. Got to tell you, I kind of feel sorry for Martin Truex Jr. He's kind of pulling for him. But his car obviously still continues to run very, very well as he sits there on the pole. But how? Don't listen. Martin Truex Jr. ought to be looking in his rearview mirror, because if I'm not mistaken, starting third will be a guy called Jimmy Johnson, and he's only won here 8 times. But Martinsville also brings us one more time for Jeff Gordon, who's won here at Martinsville 9 times. So, question is, does Jimmy Johnson get himself another chase win early in this segment and ensure his way into the Final Four and that final race at Homestead, Miami? Well, there's the question. And then, with Martin Truex out of there, you got to start to think, well, perhaps maybe, just maybe, Jimmy Johnson might be the favorite to win this year's championship. And if it's not Jimmy Johnson, could be the clear favorite out of the 8 that are going into it. It'd be easy enough to say it might be one of the JGRs. They've run so dominantly, but which one of the JGRs? If I'm not mistaken, way back when we first started segment 2, a couple of us here on this program actually predicted or projected that Denny Hamlin and or Carl Edwards wouldn't be here by the beginning of segment 3, but they're both there. So it makes for an interesting analysis and certainly a lot of conversation. So is there any clear favorite? Well, hopefully we'll get into that one as well here this morning. But we'll also take a look at our own fantasy chase. I got cut last week. We've got 8 in our fantasy that are running for it, with the 4 races remaining. And we'll also be making our Eat My Dust picks for this seventh race of the chase, and I'll update that information as well as where things stand. As I pointed out before, it turning out to be a competition between number one and number two, and then the other three of us are all kind of maybe battling for third at best. All right. If anybody wants to join me here, please don't hesitate. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of me here at the Frat House Sports Radio Studios. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can leave a message in the Blog Talk Radio chat room, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me on Twitter, at Frat House Mike. Well, I knew that Brandon I think is going to be calling in from the road, as he is out and about this morning. So we're anticipating that he will be jumping in with us at some point during this race. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe I do now have reporting for duty, but reporting late. I believe we have our own sidekick on the line. Sidekick, you there?
I'm here. My laptop may go out the window.
Okay. That kind of a warning, huh?
Don't mess with me. Don't mess with me before I've had my full can of Sunoco Rate Seal.
That kind of a morning for you, huh?
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, you know, I need my race fuel in the morning. I'm, you know. Yeah, that's
sounds
my
like,
equivalent. Yeah, that's my like, that's my equivalent of soda cookies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, it sounds to me like you're gonna be A-okay once Homestead Miami is passed this year. At least on Sunday mornings. At least on Sunday mornings. A little bit of a break wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's a long season, to God. It really is. It's a long season.
You know, it's so weird that it is actually, it's stupid to say it's so long. You know what I mean? You know, that's what she said. Because you figure we go, Speed Week starts the week after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And we practically go to the, to mid-November, so we essentially go to the effective range as Tony Romo is starting quarterback before he starts imploding. So that's a pretty damn long season.
That is it's a long season. It really is. I mean, 36 weeks, and you've got at least a couple of weeks in there where, you don't have there's no races, so it's really even longer than that. But
I would say it's probably close to about 40 weeks.
Yep.
I think there's about 4 weeks when 4 weekends that there may not be a race.
And if you count the All-Star weekend as a non-race,
mm-hmm.
It's the guys don't get much time off. That's for sure. All right. Well, anyhow, I was, prefacing, we had Talladega go down last week.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things came out of that surprised me. A couple of things came out of it that annoyed me. Not the least of which is that pesky sliced bread Joey Logano advanced. That kind of irritated me a bit. But I guess really what surprised me more than that, sidekick, was the fact that Keselowski is out. Now, Keselowski won the whole darn shoot match, what was it, 2 seasons ago. So
yeah.
It just kind of, I didn't anticipate it. And, I was thinking back to, I guess it was the beginning of segment two, I think. So we're talking 3 races ago. And on that particular program, I don't think you were on that program. I think it was just Brandon and I, and we were kind of projecting and guessing about who might be the ones that are cut. Who potentially could be cut, you know, after Talladega. And there was a not a consensus, but there was the thinking, well, hey, Jimmy Johnson's not running well, so Johnson might be in that pack. Carl Edwards, because, you know, Carl's a great guy, and he's got a wonderful demeanor, and I really like Carl Edwards, but Carl Edwards just kind of lacks that killer instinct, you know, that you really, really need at this time of year. Denny Hamlin was another one that was suspected. Joey Logano actually was suspected, but Keselowski didn't come up as one of those names. But there's Keselowski on the outside looking in.
Yep. Well, but okay. His equipment took him out.
Yeah,
because he was dominating Talladega until his motor blew.
Yeah,
you know, he was the class of the field there. You know, until he got the, you know, they suspect it's because he had, what, two or three, because he was, for some reason, the leaders kept picking up trash on the track. So we had, you know, he probably picked up trash on his grill, I think, two or three times. And, you know, finally, you know, after he dominated that race, you know, his motor finally let go.
Yep.
On him.
Yep.
So that's what kind of took him out. Same thing with Martin Truex Jr.
Thing, exactly.
You know, equipment failure took him out, and he's out of the chase now. So, and I'm trying to remember back. If I remember correctly, we did not have the big one. It was actually a fairly, clean race
for Talladega. Yes, it was.
You know what I mean? I mean, you know, there was some equipment failures. I think there was maybe some. Oh no, there was. Well, it wasn't technically a big one, but there was.
I wouldn't call that.
The end there, there was that one. What was it? It was like a 4 or 5 car wreck. Where the three of them got together and they wound up on the inside wall, on the inside retaining wall.
That was the one with McMurray involved. McMurray,
yeah,
I think,
so.
And Casey Kane.
Wasn't Biff
Casey,
in there?
Casey Kane,
yeah, Casey
was involved
Kane.
In that one. Yep. Yep. That
yeah,
would have been.
Remember, I don't think there was any chasers involved in that one, if I
no,
remember.
No, there wasn't. There was that was in around lap 180. Little minor skirmish as well in lap 115, which involved the 13, the 6, and the 83. Had a little bang up going in the front stretch there, but yeah, you're right. I mean, for the most part, it was a clean race. And you know, I was sitting back last night and I was watching, you know, I was taking a look at some of the clips from the race again. Over on YouTube, and you know, Sidekick, I don't know what it is about. I mean, you know, it's a super speedway and all that. It just seems to me these guys drive incredibly fast at this track. I just couldn't get, for some reason or another, it's magnified here versus, and again, maybe it's just because, like, you know, like I said, it's super speedway or what have you. Maybe that's what it is, but I couldn't get over watching it again, just how fast these guys run at this track. It blows my mind.
Yeah, they do. They do run.
Average speed here last week was 160 miles an hour. That's the average speed.
because they run right around, you know, when they're full bore running around that track, they're running around that 200, right in around 200.
Wow. As you pointed out, Brad Keselowski led 90 before leaving with his engine problem. Turned it over to Joey Logano, who led 45. So it was Pesky's on parade. at Talladega. So I guess no surprise, really. I mean, what? I think we were talking about it last week. Kozlowski runs well there anyhow. I mean, you know,
yep.
I was reading, you know, they're referring to him as the new restrictor plate king. So,
I gotta be honest. I was so pissed when I saw his when I saw his car go up, because obviously one, he was on my fantasy teams, and how the heck I advanced to the next round after the past 2 weeks piss poor performances, I have no idea. To be honest, I'm just I hate to sound, you know, all cliche about it, but I'm just blessed to have made it the next round, man.
It doesn't hurt when people like NASCAR John and myself are performing so poorly. I mean, I got to be honest with you. In all the years I've been playing fantasy NASCAR, I don't think I have ever seen anyone, let alone myself, end up with a final race score of minus 14. How in the world do you do that?
I've been in the negatives before.
Have you?
It is it's rare air when you do it, but
how do you do that? Honest to God.
Yeah. You got to have a really, really bad day.
Yeah, it didn't.
Because I had Truex and Keselowski on my roster.
Exactly.
And they both blew up, and I'm like, oh, I'm so done. And yeah, when the results came out, I'm like, wait, how the hell did I get both my teams? I felt like Joe Gibbs Racing. Like, wow, I made it through the next round with all my teams intact. How did that happen?
I know. I had Truex on my team, and you know, it doesn't help when, you know, one of the chasers goes out after only 40 laps.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
190 lap race, and one of your anchors on your team is out after 40. Oh man alive. I knew right then and there my day was shot.
Yeah, and was he or was he not on the pole? He was on the pole, right?
No.
Because then Brad,
I don't think so.
Or was he second?
Wasn't Kozlowski on the pole?
I don't remember now.
Martin's on the pole today.
Yeah, I know he's on the – but I thought he was – no, he was on – yeah, he was on the pole
was
for
he?
Talladega too.
All right.
Because I remember him saying – because, you know,
no,
one, of
right.
things that, one of the things
you're
that right. irked me so much, I guess kind of segue this, one of the things that irked me about Talladega was Joe Gibbs Racing.
Okay, good. I'm glad you brought it up because I teased a little bit of that on the front end as I was doing the intro. Yeah,
well, that's
you
what
know,
I said. You know, I was, you know, it's beautiful segue coming here.
Yeah, it's very interesting because, I want to get your thoughts on it, but I segued it this way at the beginning of at the top of the program. I said, depending on which blog sites or which group you might be a member of, you might have heard a little bit of complaining about the strategy used by the JGRs. I said, I'm going to be looking forward to hearing what my other mechanics think about it because I've got my own personal opinion. Go ahead. Weigh in on the JGRs and their strategy.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I'm hoping you're going to be impartial in your views.
I am.
While,
I'm always impartial.
while it is a legal tactic to employ during a race, this is the reason why the chase came about, because of teams that are thinking, hey, we're just going to sit back, we're just going to run at the back of the pack in a, you know, in as tight a little bubble as we can, stay away from everybody, and we're just going to finish this race, because as long as we finish this race, we advance. And so, Joe Gibbs Racing, minus Denny Hamlin and Martin Truex Jr. sat in the back. Denny was the worst one off. He kind of had to race to advance. Obviously, with both Keselowski and Truex going out, that significantly improved his, his ability to transfer into the next round.
Right.
But, Kyle Busch, Carl Edwards, and Matt Kenseth, those three lowlifes, sat at the back of the pack, dropped back, and just rode around the back of the pack for the whole race. And, what a bunch of,
You are reflecting exactly what I heard from many. And just to clarify everything that you're saying there, Denny Hamlin ultimately came in third.
Yes.
Joey Logano was first, obviously, as we pointed out. Brian Scott coming in second. How about that one? Denny Hamlin was third. Kurt Busch
Brian, I spin out every race. Scott.
I was just gonna say to you, what happened? What happened there? Ricky Stenhouse gave it fifth. Larson, 6. Harvick, 7. Almirola, 8. Austin Dillon, 9. Allmendinger came in 10th. All right, now, there's a JGR up at 3rd. As you pointed out, Hamlin really had to race in order to – he had to race in, in other words. Kenseth, Edwards, Kyle Busch, 28, 29, and 30, respectively. I hear what you're saying about what the philosophy was or is supposed to be of the chase. But I, for one, and I'm going to be honest with you, it might sound like I'm not being impartial. It might sound like I'm being, a fan of the JGRs when I say this, but the fact of the matter, it's the truth. I'd be okay with any driver who would be in their position doing exactly the same thing. I don't have a problem with it. They knew exactly, they did exactly what they had to do. And I don't have a problem with it. It's Talladega, man. Why put yourself on the line? Why take the risk? And, you're bringing up the fact that, there really wasn't a big one. Well, maybe they weren't the only ones that were doing that sort of thing. Maybe a lot of them were. Maybe this is the wrong place to have Talladega. Maybe Talladega at this point in the schedule is the wrong place to have this track for the second time. But
apparently NASCAR thinks that, because next year
they're moving it to
flip Talladega in Kansas.
Kansas, right.
So
yeah, and we talked about that last week, and ironically,
We also talked about the two strategies going into Talladega. You either try to stay up front or you sit back and run your race. And I'm okay with either strategy. I was even okay to an extent with JGR saying, hey, we're going to drop back. Because we've seen that strategy. We've seen Jimmy Johnson employ that strategy, drop into the back. But at the end of the race, typically you move from the back of the pack to the front of the pack to get a better thing. And my where I'm upset is, hey, they sat back there, they rode back there, but they didn't even try to, come the end of the race. They still just sat back there, just riding around the back of the, and don't get me wrong. I'm just not diming them out because, I've got issue with Toyota and Joe Gibbs Racing. Anybody that would have employed that same strategy, had it been Keselowski or Logano, I still would have chewed them out. Cause I think that's a bull, that's a BS kind of way to advance into the next round. go out there and damn race. You know, you want to employ your strategy where you want to try to avoid the big one, so you're going to lay back. Well, fine, lay back until the last 20 laps of the race and then move forward. But, you know, like you said, what'd they finish? 28th, 29th, and 30th?
Yep.
Yeah. You know?
Yep.
And it wasn't like they had a bad day.
No.
You know, they legitimately just sat back there and didn't push their equipment, didn't do anything. And that's a foul to me.
It was evident, and I think it was obvious, that it was purposeful.
Yeah. Well,
and to me, like I said, I just don't have a problem with the tactic. To me, it just makes sense. I mean, you know, somebody asked me, who was it? It was our buddy Christian Coley asked me. I forget, it was either Monday or Tuesday. Asked me outright. He said, "What did you think of the? How did he phrase it? I wonder if I could find his note." Let's see how he phrased this. Did you enjoy the sandbaggers? That's how he phrased it.
Yep. Exactly how I felt.
And so I'm sitting there, I'm going, okay, sandbaggers. And I said, I came back at him and I said, you talking JGRs? He goes, you bet your ass. So, you know, obviously Christian didn't approve of it. I said, look, they laid up. So it's the equivalent of laying up in golf. They did what they had to do. And frankly, look, it's Talladega, you know, so what else are you going to do? I mean, yeah, I personally didn't have a problem with it.
Remember when they first brought the chase, you know, before they implemented the eliminations, you know, that's kind of what we saw. Was you'd get into the chase, and then you would have somebody that was dominating and come homestead. You know, they just laid up.
Yep.
All right, I have to finish. You know, I have to finish 15th or better to, you know, to win the championship. So they would just ride around homestead. All right, you know. As long as I come in, you know, as long as I get 15th or better, we're good. And, you know, they would just sit there and ride around, you know, and that's why NASCAR came in and, you know, kind of flipped the script and said, hey, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to do eliminations and then homestead, the final four will race. So you've got to, you know, you have to race against at least three other drivers and finish better than them. You don't necessarily have to win homestead. But, you know, you just can't sit there and lay up. You know what I mean? That was their attempt to make it more competitive. And I like that.
And they've accomplished that, Psychic. They have. I mean, think about it. I mean, when you look at last Sunday's race, as we've already pointed out, Denny Hamlin had to run a race. And he did. Kurt Busch came in fourth. He had, you know, he ran a race. Even Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski himself, Truex. The only ones that really didn't were, as you point out, the JGRs. But it was a strategic move.
Harvick and Johnson.
You're right there. Well, I guess with Harvick it wouldn't have mattered, right? Because he had a win, so it wouldn't have mattered anyhow.
Right, and Johnson had wins, so they were already automatically locked.
Right,
and they were still more competitive than the three amigos,
yeah,
or the three stooges.
See,
depends on how you want to look at
them. You know, I hear what you're saying. It's a tough one to argue for or against. So I'll tell you what.
It is. You know, that's what, you know, like I said, it's about, you know, as much as I'm dogging it, it is a legitimate strategy.
Yeah.
I just would have liked them at the end of the race tried to at least advance their position some. Yeah,
okay.
But to literally sandbag the whole race, I thought was kind of BS.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Because I think we got Brandon on the line. He's calling us from the road. So we'll get Brandon.
Dover. He's at the wrong track.
Yeah. he got the dates mixed up. We'll get Brandon. So I have a feeling Brandon's probably going to come down with it on your side. We'll find out here. Brandon, where
I'm
are you?
I'm already by Dover. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
What's that?
I'm already past Dover.
He's hauling the mail.
Yeah, really. He's not driving like the JGRs last week.
No, laying back crap here.
See,
right?
I had a feeling.
The same
I
thing
had
with
a feeling.
Me. You'll never see me sandbagging.
I had a feeling, see?
You know, I guess there's two sides to the equation. It is a legitimate strategy. You don't want to put the car in a place where you're going to get wrecked, and if you can limp along there at the back and still make it, I guess it's, you know, it is what it is. That's how you want to win it, you know. Hope Kyle Busch can, you know, wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and say, yeah, you did a good job.
That
doesn't seem to me to be his kind of style, but whatever. I can see Carl Edwards and Kenseth pull that all the time, but I know from Kyle Busch, no, it just don't seem to be his thing, you know.
Wow. Okay. All right.
In that vein, though, here's something though that does show the maturity that Kyle Busch has gained.
Oh,
over the past couple seasons.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right.
Where we talk about, you know, you talk about Rowdy Busch and, you know, and his style, I do believe it shows the evolution of Kyle Busch as a, you know, as a Sprint Cup racer.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Because, see, now it sounds like you're praising it.
Well, no, I'm not praising his strategy. I'm praising his ability to just sit in the back and, you know, kind of defy that Kyle Busch driving mentality. You know what I mean? Kyle Busch is a on the seat of your pants, you know, if this thing ain't, you know, if the back end ain't trying to kick out on you, you're not trying hard enough. You know what I mean? That's Kyle Busch's style. I mean, he will take that, you know, car, and he will push every limit of it to where, you know, he's practically wrecking, you know what I mean, to, you know, to win a race. So for him to sit back and ride around with them three guys or them two other guys for that whole Talladega race shows a lot of restraint on his end. So that I am praising him. You know, his ability, you know, his ability to restrain himself. And we've talked about it before at other tracks and how he's, you know, winning the championship and everything else is, you know, it's matured him as a driver. But I still think the tactic is bull.
There's a little bit of forked tongue in that, I think. I don't know. I'm having a little difficulty with it. But
I understand what he's saying. You know, because Kyle Busch, in other words, you know, 5-6 years ago, he might not have gone along with that and just gone to the front and done what he wanted to do anyway. In other words, he followed team orders, you know. And that's what Sidekick's praising him for, the ability to do that, not necessarily agreeing with the rule or with the strategy. You know what I mean? Like, because clearly the JGR cars were fast. Denny Hamlin was up at the front. I think Truex was up at the front a lot.
Yeah.
It's just the other three idiots decided to run around the back. So, I mean, the cars weren't slow.
Oh,
So that's clearly a sandbag if you want to, you know, put it in proper context.
It's interesting. I came away from it and I was like, well, hey, you know what? They did what they had to do. You know, but
it's a strategy. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Now, you know,
a racer might not like it, but you know, that's what happens sometimes in racing.
I think in some respects, you know, Sidekick would say, well, you know, this is what NASCAR was trying to prevent by going to the format, the new chase format, the way that they did. You
well,
might get a race,
the last race. Yeah.
You might get a race like that. You know, with Talladega, you might get a race like that. But you're not obviously not going to have a race like that again today, because
Now
we're at the beginning of a new segment. So in many respects, NASCAR's mission accomplished. Yeah.
The only place you might see it again is the race before Homestead. If some are solidly up into points where they can cruise around, you know, middle of the pack and, you know, not take any risks, you might see it there just to advance, but then you won't see it at Homestead.
Exactly. You're going to see it. You're going to see it on cut races. That's where you're going to see it. You're going to see it on those cut races where you've got somebody who is assured of advancing. That's where you're going to see it. So,
right.
But for the most part, as I point out, you know, with regard to Sidekick's reference about, you know, this is what NASCAR wanted, for NASCAR, it's mission accomplished. Yeah, you had three drivers that were chasers that used that strategy here, but they can't do it again today. They can't do it next week. So, because it's a whole new ball game now. So,
yep.
I was mentioning Brandon. And I was mentioning at the Sidekick. It was 3 weeks ago when I think it was just you and I were on the program with, might have been with Christian. Sidekick wasn't on that one. It was the beginning of the segment two, and you and I were sitting back and looking at who might be the one cut out of, you know, following segment two. You know, we were talking, I brought up Johnson and Denny Hamlin's name came up and Carl Edwards. Well, they're not the ones at all. Martin Truex, who I kind of thought was I kind of thought Truex was kind of a hands-on favorite for winning the whole thing. Do we have, with Truex out of there now, is there a clear favorite?
That's a good question. I don't know. He definitely had the momentum going in. You got to look at guys who are running good. You got the Harvicks and Johnson who won the last segment. JGR needs to, you know, wake up and remove their heads from their rectums if they want to, you know, be a legit chance to win. I mean, they can't keep doing the way they've been doing it. They're going to have to go out and try to win some of these races to get through, because I doubt they're all going to make it if they don't. And this track here in particular is not a good place for them, in my opinion. I think you're going to see Hendrick Carr win here today at Martinsville. Martinsville's always been near and dear to Hendrick's heart since, you know, he had a pretty bad plane crash where he lost his son on the way to Martinsville. They've always made this track a high priority. They build extra cars. They, you know, do different things. And, oh, by the way, it might just be Jeff Gordon's last race ever. And it happens to be at Martinsville, and he's driving a Hendrick car. You know, Jimmy Johnson does real well there. Chase Elliott's going to look good today. You know, so I don't know that you're going to see a GGR car. I don't care where they qualify. I don't care. That doesn't matter to me. I don't think they're going to win. I think you're going to see a Hendrick car win. The Hendrick team as an organization makes this race a priority because of the history of what happened, you know, at a former race here. So I'm looking for that team to do real well today.
Sidekick, what do you think as far as, you know, do we have a clear favorite coming out of the eight that we have here? Is there any clear favorite in your thoughts with regard to who gets the championship this year?
Well, not really. I'll tell you why. Because even if you wanted to go with a like a Jimmy Johnson, who did win a race in the last, he doesn't run real well at Homestead. You know, and if he's one of the four, he wouldn't be, I don't care who the other three are, he's probably not going to be my pick. You know, you got Harvick. I guess Harvick's running pretty good. There to me, really, there is no clear-cut number one favorite now that Truex is gone, in my opinion. I think it's kind of up for grabs. These next couple races might show something, but, you know, I think it got a little foggier with losing Truex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree
there with that. The only thing I would say is as far as odds on favorite, just by, you know, statistics, I would say you would have to give it to JGR. Because, you know, you think about it, you've got, you know, eight teams left, and JGR's got four teams of those eight. So there's, you know, there's probably a pretty damn good chance that you're going to see at least one JGR car at Homestead.
Well, I think odds are you're probably going to get at least two.
Right.
With Kevin four left now, but which two stay, which two go? That's the part to me where I don't see one of them running better than the rest without Truex in there. You know what I mean? Truex was the one who was kind of distinguishing himself. You know, he's not a JGR true car, you know, but I mean, even like Kyle hasn't done anything dramatic lately. Carl won some races earlier, but he's kind of been blah. Kansas, I mean, he hasn't done anything all year, really. He doesn't look like he used to. Hamlin, you know, did what he had to do last race. You know, got third by a foot. Put Austin Dillon on the sidelines for the chase. So, I don't know. Maybe that's a momentum grabber for Hamlin. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to, you know. I looking at the JGR cars, you know, I would probably give the nod to Kyle, and then probably a nod to Denny, because I think he might have the momentum kind of going on his side now versus, you know, like you said, Carl's not really aggressive. And, you know, I don't see Kenseth being that, you know, that dominant either. I think Harvick is still a good shot. I don't know. I guess Jimmy might quietly squeak in, but he's not being typical.
Could squeak in quietly, John. He's had a quiet chase, Kurt.
Yeah, Kurt too.
I mean, he could have a quiet pace entry. So, you don't know. I think these next three races are going to be key to see, you know, who can, you know, build on what they've done this year and go, you know, get that momentum for that last push.
Yeah, but
that's kind of the way.
With Martinsville, this is a good track for Hamlin, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, he's starting off the, you know, while, you know, I kind of agree with Brandon as far as the, you know, seeing the Hendricks today at Martinsville, I would imagine that Denny's going to run well here and probably have himself towards the, you know, towards the front of the pack as far as, you know, when we come out of here. So he would just have to kind of, you know, race well and keep his nose clean for the next two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you might see him at Homestead actually competing.
Who's got the momentum there, right? As Mike, do you see any clear-cut leaders?
It's interesting, because I'm just sitting back and I'm listening to both you guys, and I'm kind of putting together everything that you're saying along with my own kind of configuration. And there's a couple of things that I looked at yesterday and last night in thinking about this whole thing, you know, who would be the favorite? Interesting article that I sent over to everybody from that addressed this very thing from Jeff Gluck over at USA Today. You know, is there a clear-cut favorite now of the eight? I'm going to be honest with you guys. Of the JGRs, I like Kenseth the most. As you pointed out, Brandon, Kyle's been okay, but he doesn't look like the same dominant Kyle that we saw last year. That's number one. And look, not taking anything away from the Toyotas, they've all run very, very, very well all season long. It's been the storyline of this entire season almost from week one. So I'm not taking anything away from that. Certainly Kyle has as much of an opportunity as any of them. But Kenseth, to me, seems the strongest of the four. Carl Edwards, we talked about before. God, I love Carl. But I just don't see Carl having that, as we've talked about before, that it factor when it's really, really needed. Of the four of them, I think Kansas. But here's where I go with it. Jimmy Johnson has won Martinsville 8 times, and Brandon, you pointed it out. Hendricks runs well here. Jeff Gordon, who is in his perhaps final race, as you pointed out, ever, has won this 9 times. So between the two of them, 17 times between those two.
Yep.
If Johnson gets a win here, that ensures his place at Homestead Miami. I think Jimmy Johnson right now is the clear favorite to win the entire championship. That's my gut feeling on it. I think it's Jimmy Johnson.
If he wins the race today, sure, because he advanced, he's got the edge going in. The problem is, though, Jimmy Johnson never runs really well at Homestead. Like, him and that track just don't seem to click for whatever reason. That's the only reason I'd have a hard time making him a favorite, based on some of his past runs there. I'll be honest with you, I really like the setup today for Gordon. I mean, let's face it, he's filling in for Junior, he's driving a Hendrick car, and he's at Martinsville, He has 9 wins there. That car's been running good, with him in it. It's been running good with Alex Pullman in it. I don't see any reason why it won't run good today. And, short track is more about the driver than the car to a degree. You don't have to worry about the aerodynamics as much. Yeah, the setup's important, but, the driver's the key to getting the setup right at a short track. So Gordon proves he can do that. He's done that in the past. So I'm really liking his chances. And I'm not saying that Jimmy Johnson couldn't win because, obviously they are the team in the championship chase. So, they just won not that long ago. So it's not, that wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. But I'll be shocked if we don't see those two cars up front at some point in the race today.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Storybook ending, though, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it for Gordon if he can go up there and win that race?
That would be that would be cool. In doing some research on Martinsville last night, somebody brought up Hamlin. Sidekick, you brought up Hamlin. Hamlin has won Martinsville 5 times. So, of the multi-time winners here at Martinsville who are on the track today, Gordon is at the top of the list with nine of them. Johnson's got 8. Denny Hamlin's got 5. Tony Stewart's got 3. Now, in doing research on Martinsville last night, I got a stat here for you that'll blow you away, I think, because it blew me away. Between April of 2005 and October of 2010, 12 of 13 of the races run at Martinsville were won by either Denny Hamlin, Jimmy Johnson, or Jeff Gordon.
that's a good one.
I mean, that blows me away. Denny Hamlin won it three times in a row between October of 2009 and October of 2010.
Well, this is almost a home track for Denny Hamlin, just like Richmond is.
Yeah, he's from Virginia.
So it's a interesting. Those three right there. And we've talked about all three of them here this morning.
Do any of the other Gibbs cars have wins here? Kenseth, Edwards, and Bush?
Well, Kyle just won.
That far?
Kyle just won in April.
Okay.
But that was his first time winning at.
I don't know if I remember Kenseth or Edwards win at Martinsville though. Just out of curiosity, it's obviously.
I've got the entire history up in front of me. I'm just looking through it. Kurt Busch has won twice. I made a mistake there. He's another multi-winner. Kurt has won it twice. Junior's won. Ryan Newman. Kevin Harvick. No, it does not look like Kenseth or Carl Edwards has won here. No.
And I don't think this track's in their wheelhouse as far as, you know, their driving styles.
Well, and like I said, look how long it took Kyle to get his first one here.
Well, it's not his either, really.
How many
he's
times?
Not, he's more of a speedway racer than a flat flat short track.
Yep. Yep. So, odds would be, it's interesting because as we've been talking, we've nailed it pretty close who the odds are. For today, Gordon, Johnson, Hamlin. And in the lineup, I'm just looking at that real quick here. Jeff Gordon's coming out of the 10th spot. Where's Jimmy Johnson coming out of? Jimmy Johnson's in 3. And Denny Hamlin's 8. So Johnson's coming out of the 3rd, Denny Hamlin's in 8, and Jeff Gordon's at 10. So
all three are in the top 10.
Correct. Yep, all three are in the top 10. There you go.
That's not a bad, pool of contenders to pull from right there in my book. I think you might have your winner in those three.
I think my dust will reflect exactly that. Oh gosh. All right, where did I want to go here? So we've kind of touched on let me ask this question before I jump off of it altogether. Let me ask both of you for. Because what the heck, it's talk radio, and this is what makes it fun. Give me your best guess at who you think makes the final four. Sidekick.
Oh, mercy. Oh, crikey. Oh, man. I'm going to say Johnson, Harvick, Bush. Hamlin.
Kyle. I guess you mean Kyle.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Kyle.
Johnson. Who was your 4th?
Hamlin.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Brandon. Who do you think makes the...
I'm gonna go just about the same as Sidekick. I'm going to do the Johnson, Harvick, and Hamlin, but I'm going to add Kurt Busch instead of Kyle Busch. I think Kurt Busch has kind of just been flying under the radar and could be one of those that finds himself in victory lane in one of these next 3 races. So I'm going to go with Kurt Busch as my 4th one.
Let's see. And I'll make mine right here on the spot. I didn't actually have them prepared. Johnson. Kenseth. I guess you have to say Harvick. He's just been too, I mean, at different times he's been too strong this year.
Well, you got Phoenix coming up, so.
And
Phoenix
Texas
is almost an automatic win for Harvick. Nobody can beat him there. So Harvick's going to be in the Final Four unless that car breaks at Phoenix. So Harvick's real hard to not put in that list right now.
All right, my fourth one would be Kyle Busch, although I'm not necessarily sold on it. But Johnson, Kenslick, and Harvick, I am, but I'm not sure about Kyle. But I'll go Kyle Busch. All right. So all right, I'll hold on to that.
Where are they next week before they go to Phoenix?
Texas.
Okay. So they got Martinsville, Texas, Phoenix, then Homestead.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I'm plugging drivers in, and you know, Denny Hamlin's real good in Texas too. So I'm making sure I got you know the right drivers that I want for the with the tracks coming up.
All right. Well, I got that written down, so we'll go back and take a look at that. We'll look at it each week for the next couple until we get to Homestead, Miami, and we'll see where we stand on that. See who did the best job. In some other news this week, guys, rules changes. Anybody?
No.
Surprised? Rules
that
changes.
Far, really?
Yeah, for 2017. For interesting stuff here. Driver eligibility for the respective series, and specifically referencing the lower series, Xfinity and the truck series, Camping World Truck. Driver eligibility, let's see, in essence, basically what it comes down to is this, and it does get a little bit kind of, I wouldn't say convoluted, but a little bit confusing to try to explain it all. Bottom line is this, it would seem that NASCAR is attempting to address the preponderance of cup winners, cup drivers, in the lower series. That's what they're attempting to do. Now, there were, again, just like we had differences of opinion on the strategy employed by the JGRs, there were numerous different opinions on this. There are the opinions like myself that say, okay, good, step in the right direction. This has been something I've been complaining about for a long time. Others said it didn't go far enough. Any thoughts, guys?
Well, what is the specific? What did the rule say?
Well, I see. That's why it's difficult to explain it all exactly over the air. There's a limitation to which, for instance, cup drivers, if I'm not mistaken, will not be eligible to drive in Xfinity.
On days that end in Y.
Oh, Jesus.
If the wind is over 20 miles per hour.
Oh, my God.
And it's a sunny day.
they're not permitted to drive in, like, the final let me see if I can get a piece up here that will succinctly address it. Did you read it over, Psychic?
I kind of glanced.
Okay. What is the rule? NASCAR states that any Sprint Cup driver with more than 5 years full-time experience can compete in a maximum of 10 Xfinity and 7 Camping World Truck Series races. All right? So if you've got 5 years, you can do 10. That's it. NASCAR announced that any Sprint Cup driver with more than 5 years full-time experience will be prohibited from competing in the final 8 Xfinity and Camping World Truck races next year.
So they're basically booting them out of the chase.
Correct.
NASCAR
also
did that this year, though.
NASCAR also stated, NASCAR also stated that any Sprint Cup driver with more than 5 years full-time experience will not be allowed to compete in the Xfinity Dash for Cash races. So basically, that's the rule. Now, I'm good with it. To me, it's not everything that I'd like to see, but I think it's a step in the right direction. Does it? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? You know, one of the things. Go ahead.
I think what they're attempting to do is shift the focus to the Xfinity drivers on their big and special races, like your Chase races and the Dash for Cash race. Like by limiting the or excluding, for the most part, most of the Cup drivers. I mean, you're still going to have some who aren't, you know, 5 years, you know, full time, that can probably be eligible for it. But you know, I think that's what they're attempting to do. They're attempting to make the focus onto the big cars that have the chance to cash in on those certain races, you know, without having the Kyle Busch's and Joey Logano's and Brad Keselowski's coming in and stealing the fire. In other words, if they have these Dash for Cash races where they have companies putting up an extra $100,000 for the highest finishing guy, and you got a guy who comes in like Kyle Busch and just blows everybody's doors off, right, you know, it's kind of defeating the purpose of what they're trying to do.
So I couldn't agree more.
That's why I think that's one of the reasons now that, you know, the focus of that Xfinity race is going to be on the four drivers who have the chance for the extra $100,000. And I think that's what they want, because that's how, you know, that's what the people who put the $100,000 up, you know, want. They want that exposure. So I think that's probably a good move. Overall, you know, we'll see how the series does with less Sprint Cup guys in it. I mean, that's always been a concern. NASCAR does seem less interested in keeping the tracks whole and more interested in trying to keep the TV and you know, that audience and advertisers, you know, happy, I think, at the moment. I think they kind of, for years, were straddling the line of, you know, let's keep the track owners happy, the TV and advertisers happy. Well, now they really got to focus on the TV and advertisers, because the ratings have been going down.
Yeah.
So,
well, you
yeah,
went,
they need
you
to
went,
keep the dollars in the sport.
Yeah, and perfect, because you went exactly to where I wanted to go for a second with this. Because, Brandon, it's, you know, one of the arguments that you've made to me over the years, whenever I've complained about all the cuppies involved in Xfinity and how it irks me so, you've been the one that has pointed out to me so many times that without the cuppies there, you wouldn't be getting the gates, you wouldn't be getting the ratings that you currently get.
Right.
That's always been the concern and the fear. Now, if
right.
we go to this direction, with the attendance being down as badly as it is right now, and as you point out, ratings continuing to drop, is this really a smart move on the part of NASCAR? Despite the fact
what?
We both agree that it's probably the right move morally.
Well, I here's what I think. I think they got themselves between a rock and a hard place now, because they don't have – they always had one or the other to fall back on, and now you don't have either, because your attendance is terrible and your TV ratings are dropping. So, okay, let's try to distinguish the series. In other words, you're not going to be able to see the Kyle Busch's on Saturday as much if we limit how many time you can be there. You know what I mean? So there's like, okay, maybe we can force the audiences of, you know, the driver-specific guy to watch his guy on Sunday. And then, you know, if we can build on the lower series and build these stars, maybe they can stand on their own if they're getting, you know, prominent, you know, featuring during their race. I don't know if it's going to work or not, but, you know, I don't think it hurts to try it at this point. My argument always been, well, you need the Cup guys because the tracks, you know, I've seen it. I've been at the track. When they don't have a lot of Cup guys in the Xfinity race, the stands are empty. So, you know, they want to have their guy to root for. So, but it doesn't look like that matters either way at this point, because there's really not a good audience at any of these races anymore, hardly. So, I mean, you're getting an audience, but they're not. It's not what it used to be. I mean, most of these tracks are in the removal of grandstand mode, you know, rather than, you know, adding or, you know, selling out's not even an option at this moment. They give tickets away and can't get people in the seat. So, you know, I don't know what the answer is, but I think they do need to do something, because they don't want to lose the TV contracts. It'd be a whole other discussion, because, you know, we've talked about, well, why is the race always on NBC Sports and always on FS1? It's never on the main and nobody can find it. It jumps around. Well, that was probably at the behest of the TV networks who want content on their other channels. So they can't really bitch and complain if their ratings are down, and this is what they asked for. So, you know, I don't know what – I think NASCAR is trying to make the best of what they got. In other words, this is the trend. You know, these channels are still going to want content on their channels, you know, so they're going to try to do what they can to boost, you know, the ratings where they are before the contracts expire. Because that's going to be the problem. When the contracts run up, and I think they run through 2020, you know, is Fox and NBC going to be willing to put up, you know, the same dollars with declining ratings after year after year? So NASCAR's got 2017, 2018, 2019, so at least to start to reverse the trend. If they can start to reverse the trend where the ratings start going up a little bit as opposed to going down, that'll put them in a better position when it comes to renew the contract. So maybe that's what all this is geared at. I mean, they're going to, you know, they're going to give up a little bit on the front end by the gate, which they're not doing real good with anyway, and then see what they can do to help keep the TV and the advertisers happy.
Gotcha.
And that's kind of the way I read it.
Any thoughts, Sidekick, on all of this? I mean,
I was going to, you know, we've been talking about sports in general and the fact that, you know, like the NFL's going down and, you know, NASCAR's going down and things like that. I'm wondering, you know, and we've talked about, you know, is this possibly just a correction, you know, after such an explosive, an aggressive upswing in, you know, grabbing viewers. And, you know, we talked about it Thursday night with the NFL with oversaturation. Everybody and their mom has a sports channel or two now.
Yep.
You know, trying to take down, you know, ESPN, the global leader, you know, with their, you know, 15 or 16 gazillion channels that they've rolled out, streaming or otherwise. And I'm wondering if it's just not an oversaturation of sports channels. You know, you got, you know, FS1, FS2, NBC Sportsnet, CBS Sportsnet, all the ESPN channels, all the other, you know.
Well, you got specialty ones. You got specialty ones like Big Ten Network.
Yeah, you got NFL Network. You got Big Ten Network, PAC Network, Golf Channel, MAV, or whatever it is.
Well, don't forget, we still do have all four major networks who do broadcast sports occasionally. You got your ABC, CBS,
right,
NBC, and Fox.
Good point,
like,
guys.
Today, they're all over the board because, well, not – yeah, NBC is. All but ABC are going to be in play today for football because you got CBS,
you know,
Fox, and then NBC has the Sunday night game.
Yeah. You know, so, like I said, I'm just wondering –
who's got this morning's game? Is that NFL Network?
Oh, I'm not sure. It might have been. I don't remember.
Yeah, because we've got a game. I mean, there's a game. Oh, no, Fox has got it, apparently. Fox has that game.
Yeah, Fox. It would be Fox, yeah. Because the Thursday game from this past week, that, you know, barn burner between the Titans and Jaguars, that was an exclusive NFL Network game.
Right. That's right. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Psychic. I mean,
I'm just wondering if we've got an oversaturation of sports channels, and you're going to see as the advertising dollars and things start to shrink away if you're not going to see consolidation.
Consolidating. Yep.
Almost a pulling back of the number of sports channels offerings. Let's be honest. How many times can you rerun curling championships and, this show and that show and, trying to plug in promotional advertising shows to fill in, for all these sports channels? I just don't think I think they're struggling with the content now.
If you look at it, though, some of them are smarter than others. I think ESPN backed themselves into a corner, and they couldn't spend to keep up with what they had, and they're in a reduction mode. Fox, I think, did it right. They got Fox and FS1 and FS2, but they've got proper content. They got NASCAR. They got the entire truck series. They have NHRA on Fox now, which they did a pretty good job with in their first year. And Fox is in bed with the MMA. So Fox's approach has been, okay, we're going to do some racing, we're going to do some baseball, we're going to do some football, we're going to do MMA, and that's what we're going to ride our networks on. And they, of course, don't forget all the motocross and supercross. They have the motorcycle stuff too. So, I think Fox approached it, the way they approached it so far has been good. Where they're going to screw, if they're going to have a screw up, would be if they tried to go with an FS3. You know, don't get too big. You're already, borderline with FS1 and FS2, But see, ESPN is the worst because ESPN has their hands in, like, the SEC network. They have, ESPNU, ESPN News, ESPN 1, 2, 3 is the web-only one. So they got so much outlets, I don't know that they have the content for it. So, they may be in a
Well, and they've lost a lot of content. I think that's the other thing.
Oh, yeah.
All these other sports channels coming up have hurt ESPN in what content they have available now, too.
Well, okay, if you could use NHRA as a prime example, I think ESPN did everything they possibly could do to screw NHRA, and NHRA forced the hand, bought out of the contract early, and went to a network that's treated them better. I mean, maybe NHRA fans aren't truly in love with the product on air yet, but they got to be in love with the fact that it's consistently on air and it's on air at reasonable times. There may be a lot of dead air, a lot of fillers in some of their shows, and they need to figure out how to streamline that. And that's a process, I would imagine. But I don't think overall Fox did a horrible job with NHRA this year. Agree with that? I mean,
absolutely.
You'll also agree that there's some little bit of fat that needs to be trimmed from the shows, possibly.
Compared to what we tolerated, for all of last year with ESPN,
yep.
I mean, you're saying that they screwed with them. Boy, did they screw with them? They did a great job of messing with them. It was almost as if ESPN absolutely positively did everything they possibly could to get out of that contract. It is far better. I would agree with you.
I think ESPN did themselves a disservice, really. That could have been something they could have focused on, They could have made that an ESPN2 product and made it a mainline thing on ESPN2, promoted it, gave it all the prime spots, but did they even try? No. What did they do? They buried it and put on replays of poker for hours, and then we'll watch ESPN2's coverage at 11 o'clock at night Eastern, if you're lucky. So I think ESPN really kind of did themselves a disservice on NHRA. And I think, to Fox's credit, I think they've done a great job, for their first year with it.
I would agree. But, I think both your points are well made that this may be, all of these conversations that we've had over the past number of weeks about sports and ratings, specifically and particularly with the NFL being the one that's kind of driving that conversation, it may simply be that we are oversaturated, not just with football, but with everything. And that's difficult for somebody like myself to even admit, but it's true. You can only watch so much sports. There's only so many hours in the day. There's only so many ways to watch it, and that's the bottom line. So,
I think you need to be smart, and I think I'll tell you what, of all the ones we're talking about, I think Fox has positioned themselves the best. Yeah, we might have gave them some brief last week when they had, you know, baseball playoffs on FS1 while they're putting cartoons on main network. But, you know, they know what they can get ad revenue out of. And if the sports, you know, push the lead in for the cartoon shows on Fox on Sunday night, you know, if football pushes that and drives that, you know, they're doing their job. I mean, they got to, you know, it is still a business. You know what I mean? And they must know where they're getting their ad revenue from. And let's face it, we're watching football, especially a Fox afternoon game. All you're seeing is commercials for The Simpsons and whatever other, you know, cartoon shows they have on now. I mean, they clearly must be getting, you know, some kind of push out of that.
No doubt about it.
They're using their sports to, you know, promote their whole network. And I think they're doing the best job, personally.
Well, ESPN definitely they need to think about, you know, instead of cutting personnel, which is what apparently they're doing all over the place, I think they need to think about consolidation of some of their venues. That's what they need to be thinking about, personally.
You might be right there.
Because, I mean, frankly, I think their personnel department has gotten worse. From the standpoint of on-air talent, you know, that Sunday football program is not good. With all due respect to Scott Van Pelt, he is terrible on SportsCenter. He's terrible. So I don't know who, honest to God, I don't know who told that guy he's got any talent. But there, you can see that the quality of their on-air has really diminished. And that's because they're cutting everybody. You know, they're feeling the pinch because they're not generating the kind of revenue that they used to. So, to me, before you start cutting people, why don't you start cutting operations? Just cut operations. So,
well, this all circles into the whole, you know, reason why I think NASCAR is doing what they're doing with the series. I think they're trying to, you know, get the TV audiences to be more consistent. I think that's what those, you know, your original question was about the rule changes. I think everything's geared towards trying to, solidify TV. And let's see if we can get our audience for the Camping World Truck Series. And then we'll get our audience for Xfinity and see if we can bolster our Sunday audience or, you know, our cup audience. I think that's kind of what it's geared towards.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. I like it simply because, as I pointed out, I've been one that has promoted, let's get the cuppers out of the lower series. So
I think it's good. I like this. I kind of like this, though, because there is still going to be a presence from time to time if they can run 10. You know, and that gives the young guys a chance to race against these tough guys and see where they stand. I kind of like that. And, you know, it gives your, your Ty Dillons and your Eric Jones and Suarez, it gives them a gauge to see how good they are against the Kyle Busch. I like having it there occasionally. It doesn't need to be there every week, though. And I think that this change will help that. Don't you?
Somebody else was mentioning, too, that where you have multiple drivers who run in the Xfinity Series from the same team, I'm trying to think. Does Logano run Xfinity? I know Keselowski does. Does Logano run?
I think they take turns sometimes. Very rarely are they both in, I think.
Well, somebody was saying, you know, with the restriction, you could rotate drivers in and out. Right. We have at least two JGRs, right? Kyle runs, and does Kenseth run?
I think so. I think occasionally. I think all the JGRs will take a spin in there. I don't know that they all. I think Kyle does it more.
Yeah.
Than a Carl, but I think they've all run at least a race or two.
It's interesting because even Kyle referred to the changes as the Kyle Busch rule. That's what it is. It's NASCAR's Kyle Busch rule. So. All right, I'm looking at the clock. We've got just a couple of minutes here remaining for today's program, so let's do this. Let's get around here. And real quick, we'll take a look at in our own fantasy chase lineup. I was cut out of there, so, hey, both you guys are still in it. Daytona Cement Head sits up at the top. Hey, did anybody notice who number two is? How about that Big Spoon? Sammy's in there.
Uh-oh. Sammy.
Sammy's number two, Texas Ham, Greg Oliver. Our buddy Jim Scornetti's in there as well. Liz's husband. So is in there at number six. So go right ahead, Sidekick. What's our picks for today?
Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. I'm actually still working on it. So we're going to go with Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, Michael Annett. Give me one second here. Chris Buescher. And come on, refresh. Yeah, dirty. There we go. Kevin Harvick. So real quick again, come on, man. My computer, what the hell? Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Chris Buescher, Michael Annett. I'm going with Kyle Busch for race winner and Toyota as manufacturer.
Okay. Eat my dust. Where are you going there?
I'm going with Jimmy Johnson.
All righty. And NASCAR John went with Jimmy Johnson.
Oh, come on. God bless it.
Brandon, where are you going?
I'm going to go with that Jeff Gordon. I want to see a nice storybook ending today.
Gordon. Loyal listener Liz is going with AJ Allmendinger. And I'm going with Jimmy Johnson. All right, so three of us for Johnson on that one. All right, there we go. That's it for today. I guess we'll catch you back here at Frat House Sports shortly, Brandon.
Yeah, not too long. And I heard a rumor that we might have a sidekick sighting today. I don't know if that's still on the board or not.
Really?
Yes, there should be a sidekick and fiancé sighting today.
How about that? Interesting. All right. All right. Reminder, everybody, please be here with us on Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Brandon and I will be breaking down everything that we saw today in the NFL. Well, not everything, but the big ones anyhow. We'll be taking a look at it. 7 p.m. for our Frat House Sports' Red Zone Blitz. And then Thursday night, please, our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show at 7 p.m. Many thanks to everybody that's listened in. Particularly loyal listener Liz, I didn't get to your comments in the chat room, but we always appreciate you listening in. All right, there you go. Enjoy your sports today. Enjoy your racing. Catch you on Tuesday night.